This morning I want to talk about change. Change is a recent political theme that has become very popular in some places. And the slogan is, change you can believe in. And so I was thinking about that. Politicians like to make a lot of promises, and many of them cannot be kept for a lot of different reasons. For one reason, this country is not ruled by just one individual, and it takes more than one individual to bring about true change. And when it comes to men, men oftentimes let us down. I often tell people, I say, don't count on me, especially regarding your salvation, because I'm just a man. I'm going to let you down. There's only one person you can really count on, and that is God. And so I want to talk about the real change that we can believe in. And when I say believe, I mean believe in the way the Bible talks about believing. That we can use to guide our lives, and we can use to change our lives and to be the very best people we can be. As we begin this morning, the first thing I want us to think about is from our scripture reading in Luke chapter 5. Now Jesus is using three analogies here. The first two analogies, he's pointing out this fact, that he came to earth to make a drastic change. He did not come just as one might try to patch a garment, and that lasts only for a short time. He did not come just to sort of patch things up. And the second one of putting new wine in old wineskins, Jesus didn't come to just put something in the old, just to make another deposit into the Mosaic law or the old covenant. But he came to bring something that is totally, completely different. That is the new covenant, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the church of God. Now, I want you in particular to look at verse 39, because he points out something very, very important that we know just with common sense. He says, verse 39, and no one having drunk old wine wishes for new, for he says the old is good enough. Now the point Jesus is making here is that many people, most people as a matter of fact, they do not like change. And this was true of the Jews. The Jews did not welcome change. The Jews did not like change. They liked things to stay just the way that they were. And they were not welcoming in the change that Jesus Christ was bringing. But you and I as Christians, we welcome in change, and we are excited about change in our lives, that change that God brings through His Word. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. Luke chapter 24. And I want us to realize that the gospel is a gospel of change. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of change, a message of change. In verse 46, and he said to them, this is Jesus, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name. Now, repentance means change. And this is a fact. If we do not change, we will be lost. One who does not want to change, one who is not going to change, one who is satisfied with just exactly who he is and what he is and what he's doing, will not repent and will not be saved, will not receive the forgiveness of his sins. You remember Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, unless you change, you will perish. Repent means to have a change of heart, to turn around, to go the opposite direction, no longer to go the way of sin, but turn around and go the way of God. And I use this illustration, especially with the young people. It's like a mother and father, they have a young child. And the young child, as they're about ready to cross the street, the young child is going to run right into the street, right in front of a car, and the parent says, stop, come here. The child immediately stops, turns around, and runs back to mother and father. That is repentance. And that's what you and I must do. We must change the direction that we are going so that we no longer go the way of sin, but the way of God. But it doesn't stop there. And we'll talk about that as we progress throughout our lesson. Donald Clark, in 1997, speaking regarding business. Now, in business, you've got to be willing to change. As the environment changes, as your business changes, you've got to constantly change. He says this, resistance to change is a dead-end street. And I think that's very applicable to you and I as Christians. That resistance to change, if we are not willing to change, that it will be a dead-end street. Literally, dead, a dead-end street. The prodigal son is one who had to change. And remember this story. Here was a man who asked his father for his inheritance early. And he went out and he spent it on riotous, sinful living. And he was broke. And so he was eating with the swine, and he finally figured out that it would be better to go back to his father's house and to live as a slave than to just live as a poor beggar eating with pigs. And so he repents. He changes. He changes his heart, the things that he thought, and he comes back to his father. He repents. He asks forgiveness. He confesses the things that he had done, that they were wrong. He changed. He turned in his life. You and I must be like the prodigal son, that we must change in our lives to obey God. And you may say, well, I'm obeying God already. I'm already a Christian. As we go through the lesson, we will see that change must be constant because none of us are perfect. None of us have reached the plateau to say that I have no more change. We all have more changes to make in our lives. Change is not new to Christians, and I want to remind you of that. That you have been changing for a very long time. Change many things that you did in obeying the gospel. You believed, and that was a change already. When you believed, you had a different value system. You had different thoughts about what is right and wrong, about God, about sin, when you believed. And because you believed, you repented, you changed. And because you believed and you repented, the words of your mouth were different and you confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and you obeyed to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Change is part of being a Christian and you are doing that. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. A few days ago, I was thinking about what to teach on this morning. And one of the young folks used an expression, out with the old, in with the new. And I thought about that. And how that is applicable for you and I as Christians. And this is a continual process. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11, let's just remind ourselves of this. And in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. When you obeyed the gospel, you were circumcised. Now this is a spiritual circumcision and it means to cut off. The old man was cut off. The old person of sin was cut off. You changed. Now verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God. And I want you to think about this working for just a moment. This change was wrought, this change was brought about as the old man of sin was cut off, was removed. As you were buried with Christ, raised up with him, as you lived together, made alive together with him, this was according to the working of God. God brought about a change in your life when you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Becoming a Christian is about changing. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says that we're a new creature, that old things have passed away. And that new things have come. Being a Christian is about change. It's so much about change that this analogy is given, that it's like being born again. You know, it would be interesting to me If I could remember what I thought about when I was born, when I came from my mother's womb, you know, and I witnessed that three times with our children. And I remember all of them were different. And the one that sticks in my mind right now was Dawn, because when she came out, she was mad as could be. And she didn't like what was happening, and she was going to make sure she told everybody exactly what she thought, and she's not stopped doing that to this day. And I wish I could just be there, understand exactly what her thought process is about being born again, because it is a big change, isn't it? I mean, here you are in your mother's womb, and everything is nice and comfortable and all right, you know, and you don't have to eat, you don't have to dress, you don't have to take care of yourself, you know, just everything is great. Now you're outside, and you got some guy messing with you, and they're smacking you around, trying to get you to breathe, and all this stuff like this. That is some serious change. Well, that's some serious change when we become a Christian, too. Very serious change when we become a Christian. And so this is the change that comes about. Being a Christian is about change. And although people in the world, they don't like change. You know, many of them today, they go to church where their parents went to church and their grandparents went to church, and they believe what their great-grandfather believed, and they're going to believe it because that's what great-granddaddy believed. And they're not going to change. But as Christians, that's not so. We welcome change to be better as we follow God in our lives. Our life is a life of change. James Gordon said this as I was researching some things here, and I think this is very important. It's not that some people have willpower and some don't. Do you get that? It's not that some people have willpower and some people don't. That's not the point. What's the point? It's that some people are ready to change and others are not. And I think that's pretty much true. That we all have the ability, the capability, we all have the power within ourselves to change if we want to. As Christians, we want to change. Change is important to us as Christians because we know it's necessary to live as God would have us to live. As Christians, we are people of change. We change constantly. And this perhaps in the lesson, this is the challenging part. Because the majority of us are already Christians. We've already named the name of Christ. We've already obeyed the gospel. We've already been baptized into Christ. We've made a big change in our life. But the challenge is to keep changing. To keep changing. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? That means keep changing. Go to the Word of God. Find out as you look into that mirror that James talks about. Find out, where do I need to change? And then be busy changing. Don't be like the person James talks about. Looks in the mirror, sees where he needs to change, and then just goes off and forgets what he saw. We're not that way. And so being a Christian is all about changing. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And Paul talks about this change here with the Ephesians and then also with the Colossians, and we'll look at that in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Now we're going to hit just a few verses to get the context here and so that we get right down to what we're talking about in verse 23. Verse 17. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. So he's talking to Christians. He's saying, don't walk this way that Gentiles do, but change. Now look at verse 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way. So he says, change because you've learned something different. And that's what we do. The Word of God. We learn something different, and having learned it, then change comes about. Now verse 23. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now the mind has to change. The spirit has to change. Now, Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 15. It's not eating something and it goes into your body. That's not what defiles a person. But it's what is in the heart fornications and all these other things like this that a man would do. The problem is the heart. So we must change the spirit of our mind. Verse 23. Now look at verse 24. And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness. Now you may say, they're already Christians. They have already put on the new man. That's true. But in one sense, this change continues throughout life. In one way of looking at it, it's constant. Out with the old, in with the new. There are things that all of us need to change. We look at the Word of God, that mirror, we see what it is. Out with the old, in with the new. Off with the old man, off with that old thing that must be changed, on with the new. This is the challenge for all of us. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and I want us to notice one thing very, very important with this. Because Paul talks about pretty much the same thing with them. And again, just a few verses to get us to where we're going in chapter 3. We're going to verse 10, but look at verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, these are Christians, and you're a Christian. So look at what he says. Verse 3. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You've done that. You've been baptized into Christ. You've been raised up with Him. You've done that already. Now look at verse 5. Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. And you've done that and you are doing that. Verse 9. Do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its passions. Okay? Now you've done that. You did that when you were baptized into Christ, circumcised with the circumcision of Christ. But look at verse 10. Keep going. And have put on the new self who is being renewed. Now this is a different way of looking at it. When you're baptized into Christ, you put off the old, you put on the new. But that new has to constantly change. Not change the way you want it to, but change the way God wants it to, because you grow and you mature as a Christian and you're always embracing change. That new man is being renewed. Now here is the key point: to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. To knowledge. And so the point is this. We as Christians, we go to the Word of God, as James talks about, we look at this mirror, the Word of God, and we see where we need to change. Yes, we've put off the old. Yes, we put on the new when we obey the gospel. But now this new has to grow and this new has to mature. And so we're looking into the Word of God. Where do I need to change, God? And then we bring about that change. As we change the spirit of our mind, as we learn more about God, as we learn more about ourselves, and we embrace this change. And the challenge is for us, are we embracing this change? You know, it's like a teacher or an employer. You know, what or a parent. Well, what is the main job of a teacher, employer, or parent? Let me suggest to you that it's this: to modify behaviors. A teacher is to take a student and to modify that behavior. A parent is to take a child and to modify behaviors, constantly teaching, showing, bringing about change, helping that person change. That's what it's all about. And think about it for a moment. Jesus is the master teacher. What does Jesus do? He teaches, He instructs, He leads to bring about change. Now, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, what does that mean? That means we are those who change in accordance to His teaching. That He has taught us these things to live this way, and as a disciple, we are allowing Him to shape and to mold us and to modify our behaviors as His disciples. It's sort of like the rich young ruler, although he's a bad example. The rich young ruler, you remember the story. He comes to Jesus, and if I can paraphrase, he basically asks, what do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus says, keep the commandments. And so he says, well, I've done that from my youth. Well, Jesus says, there's one thing that you lack. Now think about this as a Christian. Maybe as a Christian, you say, well, Jesus, what else do I need to do to be saved? Anything that's lacking? And now he might point something out. And the rich young ruler wasn't willing to do what he said. Jesus says, take all that you have, sell it, and give it to the poor, and come follow me. Boy, wouldn't you like that invitation? Wouldn't you like to have the invitation to be on the earth, and Jesus says, come follow me, and you get to go where he goes, you get to see all that he did. Wouldn't that be absolutely incredible? And the rich young ruler was very sad, because he was very wealthy. He was not willing to change. He was not willing to change. You and I, as Christians, we are not like the rich young ruler. We are willing to change. As a matter of fact, we're begging God, show us where we need to change. You may pray, you may ask, God, show me where I need to change. As we go to His Word and we are learning, and God is helping us to understand, as we're praying for wisdom, as James commands us to do, we're praying for wisdom to better understand, we're wanting to know where to change and to have the strength to make that change. And the challenge is today for all of us. Are you a person begging for change in your life? Or are you satisfied with where you are and what's going on, and you really don't want any change? You don't want the apple cart to be upset. Or are you begging for God to help you change? Which is it this morning? Well, let me leave you with an encouraging thought. If you'll turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the word change occurs two times in these three verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. As a Christian, you've experienced great change. When you obey the gospel, great change, born again. As a Christian now, you are constantly changing, and you're wanting to change, and you're wanting to be better this week than you were last week, and better this year than last year. You're wanting to do that, and you're working to do that. And this is the end of all of this. Verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. And I want you to notice this. As Christians, from the very first day, we changed. As Christians, all through our life, we change. And the end of all of this is going to be the most fascinating and incredible change of all. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Now think of it this way. A person who is unwilling to change in this life, a person that's unwilling to change and to live as God would have him to live, will not be changed in the resurrection. The great blessing of this change that we experience as Christians is the final change to be immortal, to never die again. That is the great blessing. In Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21, the Apostle Paul speaks just very briefly about this. And he tells us in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly wait for a Savior. But in verse 21, he says, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. To have this spiritual body, to have the glory as one who is living immortally in this spiritual body. Glory akin to the glory of Jesus Christ. As Jesus exerts this power that he has, even to subject all things to himself, that he exerts this power upon you to change you one last time to make you immortal. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of change. And it's all about change. And to experience that final change, we must work towards changing every day of our lives. Out with the old and in with the new. Have you been changed by the Word of God? Are you a Christian this morning? We're going to sing number 307. Are you a Christian this morning? If you're not, you can be changed today. You can be born again. And then you can begin experiencing change all of your life here upon the earth as God's child. And then Jesus Christ will exert His power upon you to make you immortal one day. But to get there, it begins with changing today. Jesus asks us to believe in Him, to repent of our sins, confess that He is the Son of God, be baptized into Jesus Christ, and then to grow and mature, changing our lives as long as we live here upon the earth. For your subject of gospel invitation all this morning, I want you to step to the front now as we stand and sing.